Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 38. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you have faith that I can do this?"
They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened.
Then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him through all of that district. After they had gone away, a demon-possessed man who was mute was brought to him.
And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were saying, "By the ruler of the demons, he casts out the demons."
Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This morning, the title of the sermon is, are the words that Jesus spoke to the people, the two blind men who needed help. And they are the same words that Jesus is speaking to you and me today. We say, "Lord, we need help." And Jesus says, "It will be done to you according to your faith." Do you believe? Do you have faith that I can do this thing that you're asking? They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And so he says to us today, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And whatever your prayer is, eyes were opened, sick are healed, seven new families come. It is clear in Scripture that our faith determines our life. It determines our happiness or sadness. Our life can be joyful or a struggle. It all depends upon our faith. And our faith depends, now get this, our faith depends on something that we have in common with God. It depends on the words that we speak. For all of this that we have now, the heavens and the earth, human beings, all of the animals, were created with the Word of God. And so it is for us today, we are created in the image of God, and we speak things into life. Some of them are not good, and we shouldn't be speaking them. But we do anyway. Because we live in a fallen world, and we don't see enough evidence of God's goodness in humankind. But if we hang out with the right people, if we hang out with the people who have faith, and have experienced a newness of life, then it catches us, and we believe, and we start walking in a new way. Now let's talk about faith of the blind men. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So I want to talk about the greatest man of faith in the Bible, and that would be Abraham. His name was Abram before he came to the Lord, but his name is Abraham. In the beginning, we know that God tried to work with Adam and Eve, and that failed. Then God tried working with Noah, and that failed again. Now, it failed in this sense. In both of these cases, God's mission was stopped by great wickedness on the earth. Satan was there trying to stop things, and he did. We finally meet the first successful man of faith in Genesis chapter 12. And his name is Abram, later to become Abraham. Abraham was 2,000 years after Adam, and 2,000 years before Christ. And Christ was 2,000 years before now. So, isn't that nice? History is divided in 2,000 years. Okay. So, it took God, in essence, 2,000 years to find someone who would agree to what he was asking. Adam and Eve couldn't do it. Noah could do it. But God found that it needed more strength. So instead of dealing with just a person, he wanted to deal with a family. And he promised Abraham he would multiply his family and they would become great upon the earth, as many as the sands, number as many as the stars in the heavens or the sands of the sea. So it took 2,000 years to find somebody who would say yes. Have you ever looked for somebody to do some work for you and you keep calling and calling and nobody wants to work? That's the way it was. He finally found Abraham and said, Abraham said, yes, I believe and I'll do it. Now, it might have had something to do with the other thing that he said to Abraham. He said, if you do this, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all people of the earth. Those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. We're talking about the children of Israel, of course. And so Abraham said, that sounds too good to be true, but I believe it, and I'm going to agree to it. It took God 2,000 years to find somebody who would take his message. And this message is a forgiving friendship. It is a friendship with God, but it needs to be a forgiving friendship because we are sinners. And sin had entered the world through Adam. And so God said, yes, I will work with you, and I will have a new covenant with you, and you will need to be forgiven for your sins. And that's why we have the Day of Atonement and all of the rituals and all the sacrifices. So Abraham will forever be remembered as a man of great faith, and even in the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you can read about the great heroes of the faith, and Abraham is mentioned there. Yet he was not perfect, because there are no human beings that are perfect. The first man, Adam, failed. He gave into sin, which was quickly spread throughout the whole human race and actually through all of creation. God's desire has always been to take the good news of a forgiving friendship with God to the whole world. So if you were on God's team, like Adam and Eve were, and like Noah was, he commanded the people, be fruitful and multiply, go into all the world and subdue it. In other words, God wants you to take this good message, this good news, this good relationship with it, and it's still the same. It's still a relationship of a forgiving friendship with God. He wants us to take it to the whole world. He wanted Adam to do it, and he wanted Abraham to do it. If you were on God's team, he commanded you to be fruitful and multiply. Go into all the earth and subdue it. This is the first commandment from God, and it's given to both Adam in Genesis chapter 1 and to Noah in Genesis chapter 9. And then, of course, in Genesis chapter 12, it is given to Abraham. Now, on a side note, so we meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. On a side note, it's very interesting that Genesis 11 comes before Genesis chapter 12. I know that sounds funny. Okay, but what's in Genesis chapter 11 comes before what's in Genesis chapter 12. Because in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham who agrees to leave his home and travel some 800 miles to a place. And this, get this, God says, I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but once you start, I'll tell you where to go. Would you do that? Would you do that? But isn't that what God asks us to do today? Right? He says, I want you to go. I've got something great for you to do. He says, so I want you to follow me and trust me, John. He says, when the time is right, I'll tell you. Because if I were to tell you right now, it would blow your mind and you would say there's no way it's going to happen. So what I mean by that is this. So this is Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he agrees to leave his home and his family who are idol worshippers and to go to a place that God hasn't even told him where it is yet. But in Genesis chapter 11, there were people that were not agreeing with God. Okay, In Genesis chapter 11, we read about the people on the earth. They were too concerned with their own comfort and pride to go into the world as God commanded. I'll say it again. They were too concerned with their own comfort and pride than to go into all the world as God commanded. Does that describe human beings today? We're too interested in just being cozy and comfortable. We're just too interested in our own selves. They wanted to, and we know that they wanted to make a name for themselves, and they wanted to stay right where they were, and they were planning to do a great work, and that they would be renowned through all the earth. We know this, and you know the story as well, and you can read it later. Do you know, do you go where God wants you to go? Or do you need to be comfortable? These rebellious people were ready to make a name for themselves, and this, of course, is the story of the Tower of Babel. God had enough of their pride and their disobedience, because God's command has always been to go into all the world and to share the good news, which is a forgiveness relationship with God. God had enough of their pride and disobedience. God's command was to go into all the world, but they laughed at God and decided to make a name for themselves instead in the land called Babel. So God confused their language, and they were separated into multiple language groups. Up to this point, before Genesis chapter 11, everyone on earth spoke the same language. Your faith determines your life. Whether it's happy or sad, joyful or struggling, your words are your faith. What are you saying? What are you saying to yourself and to others? Your faith determines your life, whether it be happiness or sadness, whether it be filled with joy or with struggle. And our words are our faith. What are we saying? Now let's get back to Abraham, a great man of faith who actually did obey God. He was the only one that God could find, and it took him 2,000 years to find this man. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, we read these things about Abraham. Number one, he was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, he'd gone from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran after God had told him that he wanted him to do something. So Haran was kind of a resting spot to wait for God. So he went to Haran waiting for God's word, and then God told him to go to Canaan. God promised to make him into a great nation again. He reiterated the promise. So this was at age 75. Fast forward 10 years. They are now in the land of Canaan, Abraham and Sarah. And there is no baby, God. What are you waiting for? Right? So they had had enough. And after 10 years, he and Sarah decided to take matters into their own hands. Have you ever tried to help God out? Say, you know, well, God, maybe I didn't hear you correctly, or maybe you didn't hear me correctly, but I agreed to this. But, I mean, there's no way you can do it now because I'm 85, and we've got to do something before time runs out. Oh, ye of little faith, Jesus said on many occasions. They took matters into their own hands by having a child through Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. And because 10 years was long enough to wait, they're not getting any younger. I mean, I can hear them saying it. They tried then to manufacture their own future because God wasn't coming through on their timetable. Have you ever felt like God hasn't come through on His timetable for you? Yet Scripture tells us in Isaiah and many other places that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, yes. But I think put another way, the words can be translated this way. They that wait upon the Lord will experience God and all of His blessings. If you don't wait long enough, you won't get them. They that wait upon the Lord will experience God and all His blessings and have a strong relationship. And that strong relationship will make you stronger. Isn't it funny how faith begets faith and strength begets strength? And isn't it also interesting how confusion breeds confusion? Okay, so at age 85, it had enough, and they have a year later, at age 86. Now, Abraham and Sarah, as you know, are 10 years apart. So Abraham's 86, she's 76. And Ishmael is born to her maidservant, her handmaid. So, but there is where the trouble starts between Hagar and Sarah. Now, do you have a better idea for what God should be doing in your life right now? Do you have a better idea for what God should be doing in your life right now? Do you talk to Him about that? God did not give up, but He was continually speaking to Abraham and Sarah. And we read these conversations in the chapters of Genesis. God wasn't giving up. He was continuing to speak to them, but finally they'd had enough, and so they took matters into their own hands. Okay, now, so we've gone from 75 to 85 and then to 86, and now he's age 99. God had continued to speak to him about the blessings that were to come, and I'm sure Abraham was saying, yada, yada, yada. You're all talk, God. You're all talk. At age 99, God appeared to Abraham and repeated the promise of becoming a great nation. And this is what he said at age 99. He said, this time next year, your wife will bear you a son, and he will be the heir. Now, first of all, how are you going to have a great nation with one, starting with one kid? Shouldn't you have a whole bunch? Shouldn't you have 10 or 20 to start a great nation? But at age 99, God appeared to Abraham and he repeated the promise. He said, this time next year you'll have a son. And so it was. 1 year later, Abraham at age 100 and Sarah at age 90 had a son. His name was Isaac. The name Isaac is literally translated as laughter. And they were laughing because the mother is 90 and the father is 100. Only God could do something like this. Joyce is laughing right now as she's looking at me thinking, you're an old man already. Like, I don't know what would happen at age 100. But our faith determines our life. It determines whether we are happy or sad. It decides for us. We decide for ourselves. We speak. As we speak, so is our faith. Whether we're going to be filled with joy or struggle, your words are your faith. Brothers and sisters, what are we saying to ourselves and to others? If Abraham is our example, then this is what it means to be a person of faith. Okay, again, because he's the one given as the example of faith. So if Abraham is our example, as the Bible tells us he is, this is what it means to have faith. Number one, God does keep his promises, but he very well might test your patience and faith. And number two, the reason that he tests our patience and our faith, the reason that he waits is to strengthen our patience and faith. Have you ever tried to... Now, the first time I tried to lift 200 pounds with the barbells, I didn't make it. I had to work up. You know, I'm not going to tell you how much I used to be able to lift my weight 20 times, 20 reps. And of course, if you guys have done it, you know that with your legs you can do much more than your body weight. But you start with something small. And then you go deeper with God. This is what we learn from faith. God keeps his promises, but he may test our patience and faith. Number two, the reason he waits is to strengthen our faith and our patience. And number three, if you fail, and brothers and sisters, you will fail because we all do. None of us are perfect in faith. If you fail, when you fail, it messes things up, but God will still come back to you, just as he came back to Abram and Abraham. He will still come back to you. And the Bible, in the Old Testament, starting with Adam and Eve and going all the way through, God will make the best of a bad situation. Remember when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, they knew that they were naked. What did God do? He made for them some designer clothing out of leather. Where's Rick? There he is. He made designer clothing out of leather for them, out of the animal skins. Now, if we could find those animal skins today that God made out of leather, how much do you think those would go for, right? That would be cool. But it exemplifies and it proclaims that God was sorry for what had happened, but God cannot dwell in the face of doubt. He cannot abide in the presence of doubt, and so or sin. And so so they had to go, but God felt sorry for them, and He put them on their way and made the best of a bad situation. God is still the God of second chances. We look at Peter denying Christ 3 times. That's a good example. And yet He restored him even stronger than before. And that's what waiting, and that's what problems, and that's what faith and patience are for. They will be built up when we are put through trials. About the power of words, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12. He says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you say." Now, it doesn't mean it's going to keep you from heaven, but we will be judged by that. And Scripture tells us that we will either have blessings added to us or taken from us, depending on how we behaved on planet Earth. And Jesus says, even your words, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you say. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So the words should not be words of doubt, but words of faith. They should not be words of despair, but words of hope. They should not be words of hatred, but words of love. These are the things that God calls us to do, and Jesus reminds us in the New Testament. So just as Abraham had to answer God with his voice, so it was for the blind men in our story today. Jesus asked the men to speak their faith, and they did, and it was done for them. Our tongues are meant to speak words of faith, and by speaking words of faith, we create a stronger faith. Just as God spoke the heavens and earth into existence with His voice, so He invites us to speak good things into existence with our words of faith. If it says it in the Bible, it's worth repeating, and it's worth making it personal. It doesn't matter if you sometimes doubt and are not perfect in believing, as long as you come back and get on track. Jesus said it, so I believe it. But it is important that we believe that God can do all things. God can do all things. More correctly, the Scripture says, this is the Apostle Paul writing, he says, "I can do all things on my own because I'm a wonderful Christian." No. I can do all things through Christ, not by myself or not in my own power, but in Christ and with God's power, by the Word of God, which gives faith to the believer. And then the Apostle Paul says this, "Let no person boast about themselves, except to boast about the Lord." God tried to work with Adam, and that failed. Then God tried working with Noah, which failed again. In both cases, God's mission was stopped by great wickedness on the earth. And we find, even today, it is a law, as the Apostle Paul says, that whenever we want to do something for the Lord, that Satan is there to stop it. And we sang about that this morning. We finally meet the first successful man of faith in Genesis chapter 12. His name is Abraham. Abraham was 2,000 years after Adam and 2,000 years before Christ. It took God 2,000 years to find someone who could successfully take God's message of a forgiving friendship to the world. And his name was Abraham. Abraham will be forever remembered as a man of great faith that was not perfect. Would you like your name to be right there next to Abraham? Will you be remembered as a person of great faith? You're not going to be perfect. As Jesus went from there, 2 blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you have faith I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." and their eyes were opened. And it is the same for you and me today. Our faith determines our life, our success with God. It determines our happiness or our sadness. It determines whether we will be joyful or struggling. Your words are your faith. What are we saying? I would end by saying this. Speak good things. Don't speak doubts. Anybody can speak doubts. Well, that's never happened before. It's never going to happen. Anybody can do that. It's easy. And you know what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We are children of God, and we are called to create. So speak faith and get faith. God speaks to us of great blessings, of a beautiful life that is waiting. Do we have faith to believe it? Speak faith into your life. Do not speak words of doubt, but words of faith. Do not speak words of despair and giving up, but words of hope. Do not speak words of hate, but speak words of love. I know it sounds so easy here, but yet in the midst of life when we get bogged down, it is so easy for Satan to grab us and to point us downward. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you is that you would be overcoming as God wants us to be, that we would be brothers and sisters in faith, believing all that He has told us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us, and we thank you for your wonderful promises. We thank you that we can change our world with our voice, with our words, with our faith. But faith must be spoken. Be with us as only you can, Lord. Remind us often and everywhere of your goodness to us and all that you have waiting if we will just follow you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.